All right, we are on our final segment of Tomorrow's Industries. This is where we look at tech and business. And joining us for the final time is our wonderful intrepid tech reporter, Walter Lee. Walter, hello. Good morning.
I wish I could say it would be good to be here, but, you know, it's our last time,
it
so it's a little bit sad.
It is sad indeed. But, again, let's go out with a bang.
Yes.
You got some great tech stories for us. What is our first one?
Yes, so this past Tuesday, startup company OpenAI unveiled a demo version of their most powerful AI model to date. Now, obviously, if you've heard of OpenAI, you've heard of ChatGPT. So they've come out with GPT-4, which is a significant upgrade from the GPT-3.5. Even though it doesn't sound like a massive upgrade, it actually pretty much is. In a statement made on the tech company's blog post, they described their new model as multimodal, capable of accepting image and text inputs and emitting text outputs at a high human level performance. Now, the upgrade has been 2 years in the making with the help of Microsoft's Azure, and OpenAI created a deep learning supercomputer from the ground up. So over the past year, the company have been fixing up those bugs, improving theoretical foundations of the GPT 3.5. They need a much more clearer name, I think. It's really hard to say that.
Yeah.
And as a result, a more stable GPT-4 was created. It was the first large model for the company that accurately predicts ahead of time. Now, what is really interesting is that in a simulation of the bar exam, which is required for US law school graduates before going into the professional practice, GPT-4 scored roughly around the top 10% of test takers. In comparison of just how far they've come in around a year, the GPT 3.5 ranked in the bottom 10%, according to OpenAI.
So again, it's an evolution. It's a change. It's a constant development and improvement on this existing technology, which really now has taken the world by storm. Give us a little more details on the demo that they showed.
Yeah, so on their YouTube website, if you haven't seen it, you can see it there. But just to let you know, OpenAI's president Greg Brockman gave a few simple demonstrations on how capable the latest GPT version works. In the first demonstration that he did, Brockman pasted a large portion of the company's blog post into the software's chat completions playground. Now, and he gave the direction to follow the user's instructions carefully. He then entered a message into the AI saying, "Summarize this blog article into a sentence where every word begins with the letter G." Now, Brockman first demonstrated this on the GPT 3.5 version, which actually struggled to follow directions and gave up on the requests. However, using the same passage, direction, and message, but this time putting it into GPT-4, the latest updated software showed no hesitation at all and gave a clear answer to the request. Another demonstration was a combination of two articles and finding a link or commonality between both of the articles and summarizing them, which it did. And then he asked the program to write a summarization into a poem that rhymes, which it also did.
Wow, pretty impressive. Yeah. So you mentioned also the idea that you can actually not just use text, but you can actually input images and that can be converted into text. What's that about?
Yeah, so that was really quite interesting. It's also a demonstration. Like, Brockman drew up in his like little notebook a very, very loose picture of a design for a joke website, something that looked like it took him 30 seconds to do. He did it with a pen and paper. So he took a picture of that and uploaded it to the software. Now, the software then created a HTML and created a basic looking, but still very impressive from what it was working from, image of what the joke website could look like online. Now, this was all done by the software predicting what the user wanted. So it was very impressive.
So when we see this, a lot of people are going to be excited. They're going to want to get their hands on it. This is not yet open to the public as of now.
Right, it's a demo version.
The fact that Microsoft is sort of the main kind of key investor and driver of this, at least in the distribution to the masses as well, there are some pros and cons with that as well, because Bing Chat has been something that's in beta right now. There's a wait list to get in, and if you get in, you can go ahead and use Bing Chat, which has the internet functionality along with ChatGPT. there is a little bit of a dilemma because a lot of people have increasingly moved away from Microsoft products for like browsers, for example. You don't want to use Edge browser. You might prefer to use Firefox or Chrome. And so you'd have to do workarounds to maintain using, let's say, a Chrome browser with this. But that is the inherent advantage of being Microsoft is that, hey, you want to use our product, which everyone seems to want to use. You're going to want to use our Edge browser as well. In for Korean listeners, I don't know if people have been trying this out, but some intrepid developer developed using the ChatGPT API has been able to integrate that into a Kakao Plus Chingu bot. And so if you look up Ask Up on Kakao, you can actually use the Ask Up chatbot, and it'll function much the same way as ChatGPT-3 does. It does not have real-time internet searching capabilities, but for the most part, it can converse with you in Korean and English, and it's an interesting kind of introduction into what ChatGPT is capable of. So if people are interested, they should definitely check that out. All right, Walter, what is our second story?
Yeah, so YouTube Music's growth in South Korea over the past year has been skyrocketing. Now, it recently passed Genie Music, which is now third, and is now looking to catch up to the top spot held by Melon. So a big reason why the popularity is on the up, I guess, would be due to their competitiveness in the price department. Now, YouTube has a lot of benefits if you sign up for their premium service, and one of those benefits is the inclusion of using YouTube Music, now making it far more attractive for consumers. However, the Fair Trade Commission has investigated whether this could turn the company for the streaming services, the music streaming services, into a monopoly position. Now, from the standpoint of consumers, actually, if the Fair Trade Commission finds YouTube guilty of breaking certain regulations, this might be a disadvantage, as users then would have to pay YouTube Premium and YouTube Music separately rather than the one thing.
Yeah, and so when you think of usually a Fair Trade Commission, you would think that they're an advocate for consumer rights and wanting a fair marketplace, but also want to make sure that price competitiveness is also a thing.
Yeah.
The idea that you had a kind of package deal where you could get YouTube Premium and YouTube Music for one price, but now having to split that up and pay that separately does not seem to be a consumer-friendly thing to do.
Yeah, right.
But there's obviously some perceived threat with YouTube Music. How close are they actually to being the top dog here in the Korean music streaming space?
Well, YouTube seems to be closing in very, very fast. Now, according to big data analysis platform Mobile Index, in January of 2022, the gap between Melon and YouTube Music at that time was around 3.7 million users. Now, at that time, Melon had the upper hand by quite a bit. However, over the past year, the gap has decreased to around 1.5 million users as of February this year. Melon's still on top, but obviously a significant change. Now, it wasn't just that YouTube Music was gaining more users, but Melon was losing those subscribers at the same time. And by the looks of it, it's just people jumping ship, because Melon saw a 1 million user decrease and YouTube Music saw a 1.05 million increase. So maybe some people are going from one ship to the other, seeing obviously the benefits because YouTube is such a big platform.
Okay, so then we see perhaps the domestic companies a little bit upset that this foreign firm is coming in and taking up their market share. What does the FTC intend to do exactly?
Okay, so it's already under investigation. So the FTC is going to investigate the sales strategy of YouTube Music specifically. They visited Google's Korean's headquarters to examine whether the dominance shown by YouTube Music in the domestic music stream is being unfairly expanded through their strategies. Now, obviously, the most attention is being paid to whether it could one day eliminate domestic platforms here at the music streaming service altogether.
Yeah, and that's a fair concern. This is Korea. You want Korean companies to be competitive in their own market, especially with these kind of things with IP and content streaming. However, and this is not to say that YouTube or Google is some young, scrappy underdog startup. We know they're a big, bad company, and they come in and they dominate market spaces, and maybe they're not always engaging in fair behavior. But the overwhelming response that I've seen with this article from average people is that, well, if the Korean streaming services weren't so crappy and so priced and gouging us, maybe we would use them and prefer them over the YouTube platform, but it's just simply YouTube is offering a superior product at a superior price.
Yes.
And the consumers should not necessarily be the ones punished for this by having to pay more just because the domestic companies are no longer competitive. They
right.
need to be competitive somehow, but it's not working. And so it's a bit of a dilemma, I would say.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think this premium product is extremely good for, I mean, like you said, you get ad-free videos and then you can go straight to your music. It's a really hard product to compete against.
Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with one more story. I'm going to just read one comment. We've been getting several comments coming in from our listeners. One comment coming in from the TBS EFM app. By the way, Walter, that TBS EFM app, again, with the money, is no longer going to exist at the end of this month, which is sad news. So one of the final messages coming in from that app, Shin HS, you've been my morning routine for so long. Wish all the best for you. Shin HS is just, are you me? Is that a burner account that I'm using?
Yeah, yeah. Is that just you just trying to compliment yourself?
But I do appreciate it. Thank you for that comment. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back after Jesse J and Price Tag. Well, we are back, and this is our Tech and Business segment, Tomorrow's Industries. Walter Lee is here in the studio. So, Walter, we have some clarification. That was that nice comment by the listener was not me. It was not me using a burner account to try to praise myself. HS Shin did respond and say his name is Hyunsu. So thank you for that clarification. And once again, thank you for the comment. We have a bunch of comments coming in. I'm going to try to read them throughout the program. And definitely at the end of this show, I'll carve out some time to read most of these comments. So we do thank you for that. All right, Walter, our final story. What is it?
Yeah, so if you are on social media and from time to time you may have seen people upload what I would consider really underwhelming pictures of the full moon. Everyone like celebrates the full moon. It's a beautiful full moon. They take a picture of it and it just looks like a white dot on a black background. It looks horrible. Don't know why people upload it, but people do. However, after the release of Samsung Galaxy's S23 Ultra and the impressive optical zoom, that it all seemed to have changed. Those pictures anyway, or so we thought at least. Some of the moon images coming from the S23 Ultra seemed like they were taken by, I guess, like a store-bought telescope. I mean, they weren't the best quality, but they were leaps and bounds better than what we've seen in the past from any other phone camera. But a Reddit post that claims that Samsung's famous camera system isn't all what they are claiming, adding that the Samsung smartphone giants are, or I guess the giants are using overlays to make their photos appear clearer, it's gotten actually a response from Samsung as well.
Yeah, so this became hugely viral. It was like this almost scandal that occurred. I have to admit, when I first saw this, it was hard for me to relate because I'm not really a big camera guy with the phone. And especially, I don't know if you do, I don't really do a lot of that astrophotography, which a lot of people like to do, like the stars at night.
Yeah, I don't do that, no.
But it was there. Apparently, this was, I guess, the initial kind of headlines to sensationalize this was like fake photo of the moon.
Yeah.
What was this Reddit post about?
Yeah, okay. So it was by a Reddit user, iBreakPhotos. Now, they created this post and the title was Samsung Space Zoom, Moon Shots Are Fake, and Here Is the Proof. Now, first off, let me tell you how the S23 Ultra is supposedly able to take such good photos of the moon. Now, it's done through recognition that is being pointed at the moon. It then stabilizes around the image and then turns on what they claim as a detail improvement engine to clear up the image. So when you actually zoom in, you'll see that it's very blurry, it's very blurry, it's very blurry. It focuses and then you'll see like the shape and all the craters of the moon. However, to prove this unauthenticity of the camera, the Reddit user created an experiment. Now, first they uploaded a full resolution picture of the moon onto a computer screen monitor. And then they stood quite a fair way back, zoomed into the picture on the monitor, and then the image of the monitor came out the same as an image as if you were to take the picture of the actual moon, so to say. But the next experiment was to put up a blurred photo of the moon on the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Again, same distance away, zoomed in, and the results found that once zoomed in, the S23 Ultra photo showed slightly better image quality than the blurred image on the monitor.
Mm.
So in short, basically anyone using the S23 Ultra will be getting almost the identical picture to each other due to the software that, this is what the rumor is, the software that the phone runs to enhance the photo. I mean, is that a big deal? Do people really feel duped? Is it something to really worry about?
I don't know. I mean, again, I think you and I are on the same page here. It's just that for a lot of people, if they're going to drop $1,000+ a phone, the premium function of that phone that separates it is the camera quality. And to them, it's a very big deal. So what's Samsung's response been?
Yeah, so in response, Samsung has said to techradar.com, when a user takes a photo of the moon, the AI-based scene optimization technology recognizes the moon as the main object and makes multiple shots for the multi-frame composition. Now, after which AI enhances the details of the image quality and colors, it does not apply any image overlaying to the photo.
Yeah, so what they are basically saying is that we're not faking the stuff. We are using some technologies on there, and that might have misled some people to believe that we've been engaging in fraudulent behavior. But perhaps, again, to some people, a big nothing burger. Let me go ahead and read some listener comments going on. This is our final show, and so we are getting a lot of feedback here from our YouTube live chat. Umjigijima saying thank you for your deep dedication. Thank you for listening. Yunjin, also from YouTube, I can't believe it's come to an end. I've enjoyed this morning so much. I've been educated, given lots of opportunities to hear insightful thoughts from experts, and able to see what is actually happening in Korea and throughout the world. Thank you for all your efforts, hard work, and being sincerely and genuinely for this very last moment. Thank you very much for that. 9632, Sapil Gijang. How would we translate that? Justice always prevails in the end, I suppose.
Yeah.
For real, justice is going to prevail, and we will meet again for sure. Well, thank you for that. 9632 texting. 7834 texting. Does the Seoul City Mayor have the right to terminate TBS programs? I do not think so. It's our program, not his. We did not give him the authority to do this irrational thing. And finally, Florentia, coming from email. Hi, Henry and the morning staff. Thank you for all the hard work. This morning has been my favorite show since I started listening during the pandemic. Thank you for being there every afternoon at the end of my day in Argentina. Wow.
Wow.
Thank you. I wish you the best in future projects and look forward to listening to you again soon. Thank you very much for that, Florentia. And it is time to also say thank you very much to Walter Lee. Walter, you've been a part of our show for quite some time. We've gotten to become very good friends as well. And I've always appreciated your friendship and obviously your hard work and brilliant job as a reporter. I think a lot of people should know Walter is a big TV star as well. You can just run a search and you can see his handsome face on TV and on other broadcasts. So definitely not the last of Walter. But for us, it is going to be goodbye for now. Hopefully we will meet again soon in another venue. And good luck to you, sir.
It's absolutely been a pleasure to be here. You've been a massive help to my career. I've got nothing but absolute pure love for you and for the program as well. And let's hopefully, this is not the end, that we'll work together. I'm very, very sure. But thank you again.
Thank you, Walter. All right, we move on to sports and say our final goodbyes after the Killers with Spaceman.